This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
I thought you'd start without me. Why not?
Sometimes we have to when you
We
don't
were just
return.
Talking about the ghosts in Gettysburg, actually. We were deep in conversation.
Really? Aha! Yeah. 7 after the hour. This is the DJV program. It's Wednesday, the 16th of September. The President and the People. Last night, the President was on ABC with George Stephanopoulos. You know, I'm watching him. Looking at his gray hair.
Do you need to get that?
Do you need to go answer that? Because it's really loud. Okay, why don't you just leave it off the hook? Bill Collector?
No.
Yeah.
It's too early for Bill Collector.
Okay.
So, anyway, well, I was taken back by two things. The personal side of what Stephanopoulos, remembering him as Clinton's chief of staff, and him when they first got elected, there were a lot of people who thought he was responsible in large part for Clinton getting elected. And he was very close to the Clintons. He used to sleep on their couch when he first went to White. When they first moved into the White House,
that couch got a lot of action. Not a lot of time for sleeping.
Yeah. Why was he very
At the Clintons' house?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know about that with regard to him and the whole reality of understanding the way that whole operation worked. It was kind of a seat of your pants thing for sure. But anyway, fast forward from the 1990s. To 2020, 30 years later, and how distinguished he looks. He kind of reminds me of the epitome of the Eastern liberal male. Does that make sense? Is there anything that when I say that?
Like, why would he be different from the Western?
He reminds me a lot of Michael Dukakis in his slimness, his approach with his suits and the hair and just his whole demeanor.
Yeah, West Coast. Okay, so I can actually put it in perspective for you because I think there is something to that. So East Coast, and we'll just use liberals, right? East Coast liberal, George Stephanopoulos wears the suit, has the look, the hair slicked, kind of, you know, the eyebrows, all that.
Yeah, yeah.
If look at Gavin Newsom, who's a West Coast liberal, definition of a politician, he always has the undone shirt, no tie, kind of sport coat.
Oh,
look.
Okay. All right. I get that. So fashion-wise, it's more laid back.
It's a look. Coast. Right.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So to continue in this vein of looking at the president last night, in that interview, when you and I were all talking about this earlier on, I thought the president, I used the term, acquitted himself quite well. Apparently, that's not the review, and I don't know who's reviewing it. It could be the people who don't like him, and they didn't think he was going to do it. I mean, I don't know, and I'm only telling you what I experienced. I don't know what everybody else experienced. What took me back, I flipped in and out of it 4 or 5 times in the hour and a half that it was on. And what there was a woman, a black woman, who was so angry. And I thought that this is how do I best put it so I don't get misinterpreted? The visage of a woman that she had her mask on and she wanted it. They were all there in the audience to ask questions of the president in and around George trying to do the gotcha routine with Trump. And so she started asking a question, then Trump sort of interrupted her, and she said, "Let me finish, please." And with that, the tone of it, not that it shouldn't have been said, because probably appropriate, but
he cuts women off all the time.
I understand that, because he's a sexist. I think most people know that.
But people are also disrespectful. I mean, this
well,
is
Well, she
the
was very disrespectful.
And that's, what was her question?
Her question was about her health care. She has a disease that she was born with. and she doesn't have coverage, or she's worried about having coverage if Obama, I mean, if Trump cuts the whatever Obamacare thing is that allows her to get what she gets, pre-existing condition.
Right,
exactly. Mm-hmm. So
why is she not allowed to be angry?
I didn't say she was allowed to be.
Here's the difference.
It just came to me that she just was the epitome of the black angry woman.
Well, it's not. I don't even think it's a race thing. I'm taking my headphones off. I'm not going to be a part of it.
Okay, go ahead. Take your headphones off.
But here's the thing that I think, not necessarily one with race, but I do think the people who, look, I didn't like much that Obama did. But if I met him, I would be polite to him because I have respect for the office of the president.
I think that was where I was going with it.
Respect is totally gone today. Yeah. It does not exist.
Yeah,
people are trying at every turn just be like, well, he's a jerk. They don't like him. And so there's no respect for the office, and there used to be. And so I think that's kind of maybe what you're picking up on. That's not something that's necessarily, it has nothing to do with race or whether or not people should be angry. I was angry with a lot of what Obama did, a lot of it. I thought a lot of what he did was disgraceful for the country. But I would still be respectful to him because I have respect for the office that he holds. Mm-hmm. And I have respect for people who elected him to office. And so I think that is missing. I don't think people
but
feel
black
the same
women
way
being
about
labeled
Trump.
As angry is something that black women deal with and have to fight twice as hard every single day. And it's not helpful for white people to say that she was an angry black woman. That is so offensive, and that is so difficult for
women
to have to deal.
You can be offended by it, but
well,
that's
as a
not
woman and as a
meant.
Woman with a lot of black female friends, I know what they go through.
I got a lot of black female friends too. And
then
I don't
talk to them about
them.
About labeling them as angry black women.
Listen,
if that was
I'm
a
not,
white woman, you wouldn't say she was an angry
that,
white
not,
woman.
No, that's not true at all. I would say exactly the same thing. There are plenty
why
of examples.
Why can't they just
of,
be angry without a racial
well,
label?
I say that all the time, too. Why do we have to do the race thing? But she obviously was playing it. If you saw it, you'd understand what I was saying. If you look back at the video, you'd get exactly why I made it.
Well, I would never say she
did.
Was an, you
well,
said
maybe
she was
you
the
wouldn't.
Epitome. You
but
said she was the
I
epitome
did.
Of an angry black
that's
woman.
Exactly
that means
what
you're
I said.
Playing into the stereotype.
No,
of that.
It means why? That that's what I thought. That's what it means.
But
I, didn't,
you just,
I thought
that would, but that is what you said. You said it, she's the epitome of the angry black woman. That's the stereotype.
And if there had been a white woman who had been up there that was angry about something, I might have said the same thing.
There is no stereotype for angry white women.
In
Karens.
Victoria.
Yes, there are.
Well,
like
Karen,
there
will come.
Yes,
that's a brand new thing.
I'm just saying, and there's stereo. Here's the thing. Just look, I think Doug, you're misrepresented what you're trying to say because I think there is a disrespect for the office of the presidency that has nothing to do with race. But to be kind of the voice in the middle,
I'm not sure I agree
saying,
with that either. I think there's a lot of stuff that comes from angry black people that is okay. All about race, and some of it is very appropriate. Frankly, I think that there's a lot of reason. What I didn't get finished saying, Victoria, is that I think that there's a reason. For black people to be angry about whatever it is, the society that we live in has a very deep-rooted problem when it comes to race. And I think that people on both sides don't help themselves when there are stereotypical events, as I witnessed last night. That was where I was going with the rest of the sentence before I didn't finish the sentence. But in this circumstance, I just find that we've got these tense moments that are created for no good purpose other than to get ratings on television. All of this stuff gets, you know, it just is, it's artificial, it isn't real, it just is, it's a phony baloney, it's like a fake news that's around. And so the more of this questioning that went on, the more tense it got. And, you know, under the circumstances, I think you can make a case for ABC contriving, putting in who knows how these people were selected and where the questions came from. I don't know that. It wasn't clear what it was. But we've got so many different things that play into this. I'm troubled that we do have the race problems that we do in our country, but I'm not going to run away from them. And there is a lot of stuff. I mean, I'd say the same thing about this stereotypical stooge. As a matter of fact, I got raked over the coals last week. I don't know if I said this on the air or not, when I was talking about Southern people who do, I don't remember the phraseology, but I said something about what you'd expect in the South from some stupid white guy who, I don't even remember what the context was, but man, did I get raked over the coals for having said that. on the social media postings. But that's
well, we don't
the
have
way...
a lot of black listeners, so I don't think you're going to get raked over the coals for that one. But all I know is from my girlfriends who go through this, they have to... It's literally the Ginger Rogers thing with the Fred Astaire. You know, you have to do everything twice as hard and in heels and backwards. And it's even harder for black women, especially professional black women. They have to... There is a conscious effort that they have to make. And this is even in my generation. In the millennial and millennial-adjacent generation, this is still happening, where all the women have to think about how they present an argument or how they speak in a boardroom or how they are on a conference call so that they don't get labeled an angry black woman in big air quotes. And that is something that is that I find that so offensive. And I understand that you're not coming from a racist perspective, but it's not helpful to perpetuate those stereotypes. You can say she was angry. She has a pre-existing condition. She's upset about her losing her health care. Those are real things. But to then say that she was the epitome of the angry black woman, that's feeding into the stereotype.
Well,
and it's
that
not
may
helping.
Be your read on it. I get that that's your read on it, but that wasn't the intent, nor was it what I was actually saying. But, you know, so that's your read on it. I understand that. And maybe other people read it the same way. There are a lot of people who read things. Everybody's very sensitive to all kinds of stuff these days, and it's too bad because sometimes when you said air quote, sometimes the whole story isn't told because people, when they hear something that triggers a reaction, they stop listening to the rest of whatever is being said. I think that happened last night a lot during that town hall meeting. I can't tell you how many times George, as I said, I clicked back and forth four or five times, and Stephanopoulos kept interrupting the president, and let's get to the bottom of this, and let's get to back to what Jennifer just said. You may think Trump is the biggest jerk in the world, and maybe he is, but that doesn't mean that the office itself, he may not deserve respect, but the office does, and in this circumstance, he's the president of the United States. So he's done a lot to dismiss those feelings himself. But it's toward him that anger should be directed, not toward the office. And so
it sounds like that's what it was. I didn't watch it, but it sounds like that the anger was directed to him because he cut her off and didn't let her finish her question.
Well, how many Stephanopoulos did that? If he did it once, he did it four or five times to Trump.
Okay, so then, and was she interrupting
Trump?
Him?
I mean, I guess we should just talk about facts.
No, she didn't interrupt him. He interrupted her.
Right.
And she was telling the story of her disease and what she does. She has a PhD in something, teaches at a college, I think. If I'm not, she has a sarcoidosis or something. And she wasn't insurable until Obama got into office. She says, with copays, I'm still paying $7,000 a year, et cetera, et cetera. And then they went into pre-existing conditions in Obamacare and yada, yada. But the news media made a big deal out of her saying, please stop and let me finish my question, sir. Should that be removed within a 36 to 72 hour period without my medication, I'd be dead. That's, she's telling the rest of the story.
I don't get at all where she was being disrespectful in this story.
The way she, you have to watch it. You gotta see it.
So after he cut her off, then she got angry.
Well, I don't. He didn't really cut her off.
Probably the
tone. He was trying
to
address the first part of the question. What'd you say, Jen?
I said it was probably the tone. I mean, it's a real thing. People are disrespectful of this president. I mean, you have to be.
Well, he's to be fair. He's pretty disrespectful of some people.
Absolutely,
as well.
He fights back. Absolutely right. Yeah. But the disrespect for the office, I think, is.
Well, we've gotten into a point where you can't disagree, and you can't really say.
Yep.
Things
gotta be hateful.
Yeah, right. It's just the characterization. Anyway, I didn't think it was the bottom line of all of this. I didn't think it was as bad as everybody else seems to have thought it was. And I normally would not watch something like this, but I was taken, as I said at the beginning, I'm looking at Stephanopoulos and thinking, this was a kid 30 years ago sleeping on the couch in the White House when they first went into the White House, and now... You know, look where he is, $17 million a year anchor, and doing quite well for himself. Good for him. The American way. At 21 after the hour, this is the DJV Show.
The battle of late stage or terminal illness is a fight that affects everything and everyone in your life. If you or a loved one are dealing with advanced stage conditions that are causing financial hardship, like stage 3 or stage 4 cancer, Alzheimer's, COPD, or ALS, then this message is for you. Our Funds for Living program make it a simple 3-step process. Text the word LIVE to 411-411 or visit fifthseasonfinancial.com/radio and we'll send you a link to get started. Choose the amount of money you need. Apply in seconds. That's it. And you're under no obligation. Fifth Season will advance a portion of your life insurance policy and take over your premium payments so you can provide immediate financial relief to the ones you love, all without any out-of-pocket expenses. Fifth Season Financial wants to help you live your best life. Text LIVE to 411-411. Text the word LIVE to 411-411.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not, but you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
There's a pop song from Ms. Madonna, I Rise, one of her, isn't that more, it's kind of more recent in her career, right, Victoria?
Yes.
Yep. Song more recent. It's the DJV program. Music is our focus, and each hour of the program we devote 4 or 5 minutes to musical stories, people, personalities, singers, etc., etc., etc. Music, Victoria Keelan, Doug Stephan. Madonna is set to direct her own biopic. She's also co-writing the film with Academy Award-winning screenwriter Diablo Cody. Didn't Diablo Cody do the 50 Shades of Grey? Do I have that in my mind right?
No. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe she did. I know the name. She wrote the books, but she...
No. I don't know. But I know the name for
some reason. She may have, done the screenplay.
Yeah.
She was most famous or kind of burst on the scene of that movie Juno. About the teenage pregnant girl, and J.K. Simmons was in it, and Allison Janney, and I forget the girl now.
Ah, yes,
you know.
Okay.
And that
won all
kinds of Academy Awards, so that's where she really came from.
So this is a yet untitled film produced under Universal Pictures. Neither a production timeline nor a cast has been announced. Madonna said, quote, I want to convey the incredible journey that life has taken me on as an artist, a musician, a dancer, as a human being, trying to make her way in the world. The focus of the film will always be music. Music has kept me going. Art has kept me alive. There's so many untold and inspiring stories. Who better to tell them than me? Moi! It's essential to share the roller coaster ride of my life with my voice and vision. Producer Amy Pascal, who previously worked with Madonna on the film A League of Their Own back in the 90s, said, this movie is an absolute labor of love for me. I've known Madonna since we made A League of Their Own together, and can't imagine anything more thrilling than collaborating with her and Diablo on bringing her true life story to the big screen. The Madonna biopic won't be Madonna's directorial debut. Follows a couple of past efforts in 2008, Filth and Wisdom, and then in 2011, W.E., also sharing. What does W.E. stand for?
Wallace E. Simpson. It was the Wallace Simpson story.
Oh.
It was a horrible movie.
Yeah, was it?
I and hope that
Wallace
she directs
Simpson
her own story better.
George. Right, yeah. That was King George. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, she says, still a person directing their own biopic is a largely unprecedented creative move. It's perhaps the logical next step following the heavy involvement of Elton John and the surviving members of Queen in their respective biopics. So is she in that same league? I suppose she is in the manner.
Yeah, I mean, she's going to control her own story, so I get that. But I can't imagine how you could ever remain objective, you know? I think part of the reason that Rocketman and Bohemian Rhapsody were such good movies is because Elton and Queen didn't direct it.
Yeah.
They were there, they had input, but it was someone else's vision. And I think when it's your own, you're too close to it.
Yeah. All right.
We'll
also,
see. Speaking
of big-time lady musicians, Gaga being lined up to play a character in the X-Men movies. That'd be interesting. Character's name is Emma Frost, the White Queen. The Gaga presence, she already made a couple of successful steps, certainly. She won Golden Globe for American Horror Story and Best Actress nomination for A Star Is Born. I thought she was great in that, frankly. I didn't see American Horror Story. Now Marvel Comics looking to have her appear as Frost when X-Men moves into the Marvel Cinematic. You know, I thought X-Men was already in it. No?
This is where I don't follow comics, so I have no idea.
About that.
Yeah. Chuck would be the one to...
So we'll check with Chuck on that. Meanwhile, Gaga recently won a number of awards at the MTV VMAs last month, including Artist of the Year and First Ever Tricon Award. She said, "Just because we're separated right now and culture may feel less alive in some ways, I know a renaissance is coming and the wrath of pop culture will inspire you and the rage of art will empower you as a response to hardship with its generosity and love." It's 28 after the hour.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
You probably don't think very often about support for your brain, but you should. Join the millions of people supporting their brain function with America's most popular brain supplement, Prevagen. In a clinical trial, a subgroup of adults with mild, age-related cognitive impairment taking only one Prevagen a day were shown to improve in measures related to memory. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Our veterans risked it all to protect our freedom. One of the best ways to say thank you is to volunteer to support them. At a time in history where kindness is a virtue, volunteering means a lot. For over 47 years, Help Heal Veterans, a not-for-profit organization, with the support of citizens like you, have delivered therapy kits to veterans who need them. To volunteer or learn more, visit healvets.org.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump appearing at a town hall event last evening and asked about why he never issued a national mask mandate to combat the spread of coronavirus.
The concept of a mask is good, but it also does, you're constantly touching it, you're touching your face, you're touching plates. There are people that don't think masks are good.
During the ABC town hall, President Trump also said minority communities are suffering the most when there is not proper policing.
They suffer suffer more than anybody else by bad police protection. We have to give the police back the authority to stop crime.
Hurricane Sally now starting to dump heavy rain on parts of the Gulf Coast as the storm nears landfall. Forecasters say the rain totals could be measured in feet over the course of the next few days. This is USA Radio News.
Extend your life.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Activist comedian John Stewart holding an event yesterday where he called for help for veterans exposed to toxic chemicals in war zones. The former Daily Show host saying soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan were exposed to dangerous toxins through smoldering burn pits that were used to incinerate waste. He compared veterans with health problems from burn pits to 9/11 first responders, who also were, of course, exposed to chemicals, including burning jet fuel. New Mexico dealing with a bit of a mystery in the sky. Hundreds of thousands of birds have been found dead across the state and in parts of Colorado and Texas as well. Some experts say the wildfires on the West Coast may be to blame, forcing the birds to migrate early. Miami Marlins owner Derek Jeter might be giving Tom Brady an eviction notice. Jeter rented his home to the new Tampa Bay Bucks quarterback back in April, but now Jeter has put that nearly 22,000 square foot home on the market for $29 million. The walled estate on 1.25 acres has 7 bedrooms, 8 full bathrooms, and 8 half baths. It's believed to be the largest residence in South Tampa. You can find us online anytime. We're at usaradio.com. And again, that's usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
All right, 34 after the hour. It's the Wednesday DJV program, audible everywhere. You can hear us here, there, and everywhere. We do this. You know what gets to me? Somebody said to me recently, well, do you rehearse your program? And I said, no, it kills the spontaneity if we rehearse the program. We don't practice here. This isn't like a dentist's office or a doctor's office where they call it a practice. No practice. I suppose everything you do is practice for the next thing, don't you think? You know, everything you do is preparation for whatever the next thing is you do. Victoria, do you think that that's true? When you come right down to it, you learn by doing.
I'm always amazed when people ask if we're scripted. That always blows my mind. What? It's not a soap opera. We don't memorize a script every night.
No, thank heavens for that. Although I have great respect, my friend Tucker, who's starring in that new, he's the lead in the new NBC show called Debris. We were talking recently, he and I are business partners, and we were talking about how easy it is for him to learn lines because he's been doing a lot of work on this project that he and I and my son and my lawyer and another fellow are involved in, and it takes a lot of time. And he's about to start shooting next week for the season. And I said, I don't want to feel guilty about having you distracted and you mess up your lines. And my son said, don't worry about that. It's as easy for him to learn lines as it is for you to do your radio program. And I thought to myself, what a wonderful, that is a good acknowledgement.
Well, then he's in the right business.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the important thing. Find what you're good at, love it, and do it. That's what I could wish for everything. I am so fortunate and thankful because I found something that I was pretty good at, that I made a few bucks at, that I really enjoy. 55 years later, I'm happier than I ever have been doing this for a living. And then finding other things that are ancillary to make your life worthwhile. You know, you can't have perfection. I have been, unfortunately, not able to find someone to spend my life with, and I don't know that that was ever the desire or the need. Maybe I didn't need somebody to spend my life with. A lot of people think they're not complete without having a partner. I miss not having a partner, but it isn't something that has ruined my life or made my life imperfect. There are people who would say they have a great partnership, but they don't have the career that they want. You know, there's always going to be something missing, don't you think, Victoria? Mm-hmm. You know, when you think yep. about what's missing in your life, if I said to you, what's missing? Think about that for a second. What do you think? What's missing in your life that you wish if you had your heart's desire 100%, what are you missing?
Space. Because we live in a one-bedroom apartment in an apartment village, and the pandemic has just really, we live in a touristy area, and I've said this before, you know, the nickname here has been COVID Beach in New Jersey, and it's, I wish that we didn't live here. I wish we had our own place, you know, where we had our own space, but that would be the only, I mean, that's the, honestly, I feel very blessed. That's the only thing I really feel is missing from my life.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lewis would probably say the same thing.
I guess if I were to rephrase this, if somebody was watching you on a hidden camera, what would they, observing you, think, what would they say was most important to you? And I think, or what isn't missing? What isn't there? What is missing? And that's kind of the question that I ask. And whenever I ask these questions, it's always about having you, the people who are listening to the program, take yourself into that same space where we are. Ask that question of yourself. It's a great exercise. Frankly, it's not just about what's going on and us blah, blah, blah. Here's what Trump did and here's what somebody else did and here's about the virus. It's about provoking you into thinking about what your status is, where you are and how you're getting along. How you're making it work? You know, that sort of thing. So there's that damn, I did stop the phone thing. Why don't you talk about Breonna Taylor and I'm going to take care of this thing that I'm supposed to
take care of. Well, the city of Louisville, Kentucky has reached a $12 million settlement with Breonna Taylor's family. This comes 6 months after she was killed in her home during a police drug raid. And in case you don't remember the story, what happened was she was at home in bed. Her boyfriend was at her apartment with her, and the cops had a no-knock warrant. They busted through the door. They ended up shooting her multiple times. She was killed. They shot her boyfriend. He shot back at the cops. The boyfriend survived. There were no charges given against the boyfriend. Initially there were, and then they dropped them. The police were clearly in the wrong. They were literally in the wrong place. They were in the wrong address, and the guy they were really looking for was Breonna Taylor's ex-boyfriend, and they had already arrested him that night. So a lot of the details of the story have remained kind of murky. And the settlement that they've reached is essentially, it's just a $12 million, not just, but it's a $12 million settlement, but it has nothing to do with any criminal charges, and it does not require the city to admit any wrongdoing. This is a very imperfect settlement as far as her family is concerned. It's been 186 days since Breonna Taylor was killed. None of the cops involved in the incident have been arrested. None of them
pretty
have been.
Pretty damned outrageous, actually, when you get right down to it.
Yeah, none of them have been brought up on charges, and so the attorney general says that no charges have been filed yet because they're waiting to see what they're going to do, I guess, moving forward. It's a very vague response. Exactly. It's a vague response. The financial settlement, though, according to Breonna Taylor's mother's lawyer,
The lawyer said it's important to note here that a financial settlement was non-negotiable without significant police reform. That's what we were able to do. So part there is some good that came of this. The city has committed they've made a commitment to they've done things like everyone now, all the cops have to have body cams on at least 5 minutes before they enter into a space, which there were no body cams the night that Breonna Taylor was shot. There are no more no-knock warranties. They've eliminated them. So that is a big step, too. And so, you know, they're moving in the right direction. However, Tamika Palmer, Breonna Taylor's mom, has said that they're still looking for charges, criminal charges, at least second-degree manslaughter is what they're looking for the officers who shot and killed Breonna. But it's, you know, I don't know where the money is going to go. They haven't talked about that. I'm sure it will be in some sort of a trust in Breonna's name and maybe to fight, you know, social justice and police injustice, things like that. But it's still sad because no amount of money can bring back her daughter.
You know, I was thinking about big city police and small town police and the business with the sheriff, the two sheriff's officers that were shot in L.A. last weekend, and how it just seems that there's such a different, if regard is the right word, for police and what they do. And I think it comes from the inside and the outside, Victoria. Some people who are police officers get what's going on. Maybe it's the same in every business. Maybe that's what we're missing here. I know that we have a lot of good police officers who are well-trained. I've maintained for years and years and years, police officers, we need fewer of them doing what they are doing. This is long before all of this redistribution of how do you do the police thing. I've been saying this for 20-some-odd years, I think. The police are just not equipped to do a lot of the things they're asked to do. And they are not properly trained, so they better be better trained in order to do what's expected of them, and therefore they should be better paid. Fewer of them, better training, and better pay.
And
that's
I think
what
that
gets
we also,
us out of this hole that we're in.
And the police unions, I would argue,
are out of control.
Absolutely out of control, and as much of a part of the problem as bad cops.
Yep, I agree. It's the same in teaching. That's why I say the same thing about the public sector. There's a fire hydrant across the street from my house. The other day, there were 4 town trucks and 8 people changing a fire plug, which is a job that I could have done with maybe one other person. You dig a hole, you take the old one out, and you put a new one in. But one guy's got to be there to supervise, one guy's in charge of the paperwork, one guy's in charge of the shovel, somebody else is in charge of the pipe. Come on. And this is all because union rules say one guy whose job assignment is X can't do or help somebody whose job is Y. How
right,
the hell
because
did we
it keeps
get...
Their, well,
yeah.
It keeps the numbers up.
Right.
And that's, you know, the more members they have, the better it is for
the union. And the more the public, the taxpayer is screwed, blued, and tattooed. You're getting it 87 ways from Sunday. And the reason that these people, police, public unions, teachers union, whatever, is because the people who run these communities don't have the balsam to say no. They all want to get reelected, so they go along with whatever the requests are. Very few are ever turned down, and thus we have the mayhem that we do, where the teachers are running the school instead of the administrators, or, better yet, the public who are paying the bill. That's who should be running. It should be that whatever goes on in your community with the police, with the school, with the public works department, all should be predicated on what's good for the public, what the public wants, because the public is paying. That's the bottom line, and we are sure as hell not getting that across the board. In most every community, there are people, the majority of people are frustrated with the mayor or the city council or the selectmen or how things are being done. It's just, it's gone awry. The system, which was wonderful as it got started in idea form, but once it's out in practice, it doesn't work. It just doesn't. And there are too many people. The public systems today do not work. Thus, the attempt by some to privatize, whatever the motivation, because they want to take care of their friends who are in the same business, whatever it is. I maintain that a lot of the stuff that's done by public workers, public unions, should be done by the private enterprise You know, again, maybe the best thing is...
I think that works to some extent, but then we saw
when... Well, that's what I was
going to
say. Yeah, you can't do that with police and with teachers, but you can do it with the public. You know, to put a fire plug in, you hire a guy to... He gives you a price, and this is what it costs to put a new fire plug in.
Yeah. I mean, we saw the privatization of prisons was a disaster.
It didn't work.
And so, that absolutely did not work, and that became just rife with corruption. So I think that, you know, it depends. I agree with you. I think some things would be better privatized. Yeah. Other things, you know, unfortunately, just have to stay public, but also need a lot more management and better management.
And we better get a handle on what is going on with the police, because it doesn't seem to me that with all, I mean, these guys got to read the newspaper. They got to be watching television. They got to know what's going on. And in some cases, some of this stuff feels like an up yours to me. The attitude is, we're the police.
There are some people who are reacting that way, and it's making the situation even worse. Because they know that, you know, they are doing something wrong. There are plenty of good cops out there who are welcoming reform.
Of course they are.
But it's the bad cops and this fraternity of unions, and it's all, you know, no one can rat out a bad cop. Even if you're a good cop and you see something that's wrong, the stories of what happens to those good cops who try to rat out the bad ones are horrific. It's like it's college level. It's like hazing in a fraternity taken to the next level. It's horrible.
They should all run like Hank Voigt runs the intelligence unit in the Chicago Police Department on Chicago PD. That's how he's a little rough, but he gets the job done. And maybe a little more, you know, when you're dealing with hardened criminals and bad guys and bad women, you know, sometimes you got to take things a little tougher.
Of course.
And often you hear from police, well, you see, you don't understand the element that we deal with. Well, not everybody is a crook. But yet I feel in some circumstances where I've been stopped, I get, you know, it's kind of the accusatory attitude. Well, you know what you were doing? And, you know, most of the time, I haven't stopped for a long time, but I'm just thinking back on times.
You've told us stories here where you've given cops a lot of attitude.
Yep.
And, you know, and a lot of black people in America right now can make the argument that if they were in your boat and they said the things that you've said.
Oh, I got hauled off to jail for giving a cop attitude. I got
right,
put in the Weston jail because I gave a cop, I said, what are you stopping me for? And he said, what do you mean? I don't like your attitude. I said, I want to know why you stopped me. And by the way, I never got the answer to that until I got to the police station and got put in the lockup. And I started to say, one of my best friends from high school was the chief of police here in Framingham for a number of years. And after I got stopped and put in jail, I called him. He came over to get me out of jail. And the guy who was in charge, when he realized it was a Framingham police chief, they all ran for cover. But it was, you know,
right,
it was
but imagine,
I'm not going to take their crap. Yes.
Right. But imagine being a black man. The chances of that black man being ended up dead it happens all the
much
time.
More so.
Even black men who are complying and taking the orders from the cops, they still end up dead.
Yeah.
You know, I
why?
Mean, this is
what is there that makes you want to shoot somebody like that? It just, you know, what
that's
is there?
Exactly the problem. George Floyd was completely compliant to everything that those
and then
cops
they'll
told
tell
him
you
to
about,
do.
But he did other things that made him a bad guy. He wasn't doing them then. Not at that point.
Exactly.
He wasn't.
Exactly.
My friend used to say when people would question him, you know, about why can we do this and why can we do that, his standard line was, we're the police and you're not. It's 40, isn't it? Yeah, it is 49 after the hour already. My goodness. This program brought to you by Calitrin, America's number one way to lose weight, the simple, non-toxic way. Check it all out at toploss.com. When you check out, use the DJV code and save a lot of money, but lose that weight and live safely and sanely. 10 before the hour.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. teamgaday.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I'm here with Scott Jusium, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
More Madonna. Here we go with Madonna music as we get into movie moments. Chuck Curry is here, our movie man. So there's a lot of buzz about Madonna, Chucker, as she intends to direct the picture about her life. Is that going to be good? What's your read on that?
I think it actually has a ton of potential. She's going to direct and co-write a movie, a biopic on her life. It's going to be co-produced by Diablo Cody, who hit big with the movie Juno about, was that over a decade ago. I mean, the biopics are hot now. Bohemian Rhapsody, I thought was it, well, one, it was a big hit. I thought it was a very entertaining and a good movie. And Rocket Man, the Elton John biopic, I thought it was an outstanding movie with a great lead performance. If she tells warts and all, I think it's a very interesting film, especially the fact that, you know, she had an influence in film. She was in A League of Their Own. She was nominated, I believe, for a Golden Globe, at least, for Evita. She did a movie called Who's That Girl? She was in Dick Tracy. I'm not that big of a fan on film. I thought she ruined Dick Tracy, to be honest with you. Is that too much? Was that too much?
Yeah,
I mean, I think she's a pretty terrible actress, actually. You know,
I'm not a big fan of her as an actress.
I love her in Evita, but she doesn't even have a spoken line.
No, she's
just singing.
Yeah,
she was great in that.
Yeah. Well, so the thing about these biopics that are, you know, because Hollywood's running out of new ideas. They want to, there's supposedly in the works a Frank Sinatra biopic,
That's been in a long time in the pipeline for a long time. I know they're going to do a Boy George biopic. You have any interest in that one?
Yeah, because I find him
That'd
a very interesting character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I met him once and spent an hour or so with him, and I would, he's a very interesting character. He really is. You wonder again about names, whether Frank Sinatra, would you go on a, I'd like to see, there's a Buddy Holly movie, I'd like to see a Frank Sinatra movie, a John Wayne movie.
I would love to see a Frank Sinatra biopic if it was brutally honest. If it's sugar-coated, yeah. It'll have entertainment value. But boy, oh boy, if they really got to the nitty-gritty of his life.
Right.
It would be great, honestly, but it has to have his real music. You cannot have someone trying to pretend to sing like Sinatra.
Sing him.
I think it has
Joe
to
Joe Piscopo
actually,
can't play the role.
Oh, God, yeah.
Well,
it needs to be real Sinatra singing.
Yeah.
For a few years, Martin Scorsese was trying to get it off the ground with DiCaprio as the star as Sinatra.
Oh, my God.
But yeah. And then it fell out of bed, so that whatever goes with that project, it'll have to be completely started from scratch. But
so,
that would be
a
good one.
Let's stay with this a little bit. A John Wayne movie. There's somebody, I'm told, that's trying to create a movie about Johnny Carson. I would find that be an interesting movie. The John Wayne movie would be interesting if it's honest. The late news on John Wayne was that he was kind of a bigot. So does that play into, do people want to know that?
I don't know.
I've got
to be honest. I don't know what the interest would be in a John Wayne biopic in 2020 or whenever it came out, 2021, 22. Johnny Carson, I think, is a fascinating subject for a film, because if you read some of those books about Carson and his persona in real life, certainly.
I did about John Wayne. John Wayne's persona in real life and the political stuff that he get into, I think it would make a very interesting movie, Frank.
Yeah, it would. It would.
Okay. You changed
what about
your
mind, you? Sugar. What about a biopic on you?
Well, maybe later on. All right, Lady Gaga, as long as we're talking about women in the movies, Gaga supposedly is being lined up to play in the new X-Men movie. I thought there already
another
was an X-Men.
Do we need another one?
I don't know, but
somebody thinks we do.
they're talking
well,
about
yeah,
having
here,
her play the White Queen.
Yeah,
Cross,
well, here's the thing
Cross.
About X-Men. It sort of burnt itself out, but Disney bought 20th Century Fox, so they could actually intertwine. I know you're not that interested in this stuff, but they actually could intertwine X-Men in the Marvel universe. So
I'm
they could
finding Disney and their lust for money is a little over the top, as far as I'm concerned. Everything, you know, the way they run their business certainly isn't. I can't imagine Walt Disney thinking a lot of the stuff that they do. They're the largest entertainment company in the world now. You know that
by far.
And
I know that
they own and control all of this stuff. And I think that there is a lot to be desired in the way they handle the people I know who work for them. Just find it appalling. Anyway, meanwhile, back to Lady Gaga. She's got acting chops where Madonna doesn't. That's why I brought this up. Do we agree on that?
Based on A Star Is Born, the answer is probably.
What do you mean, probably?
I've seen her in other things,
what else
though.
She does.
I think she's really good.
Yeah,
American Horror Story.
Yeah, you're right.
Great in that. Yep.
Yeah. You're right.
She won the Golden Globe for that, yeah.
But see, Chucker, you hear that, Victoria?
He changed his mind again.
No, Chucker, say it again. Doug, you're right.
You're right.
Yeah, okay. See, there you go. Chuck Curry ensures that he'll be back tomorrow with that statement. This is the DJV program.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.